Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. Oh, what a great book. Oh, Ephesians. Wonderful, wonderful. Glad to have you here. All right. Let me tell you something else is a blessing this morning. It's just us chickens here. So let me just tell you a blessing that came. My wife and I were at the front as we were greeting folks or actually saying goodbye to them, but just having some conversation and just enjoying it. As we were leaving, one of the gentlemen in the church mentioned to me this week that he said, "Preacher, it was really kind of neat." He said that I was at Lowe's and I was checking out at Lowe's, and the lady in front of me was, and I'll just tell you how he told me. He said she was kicking and cussing the machine that's one of those self kind of, you know, you put your card in or whatever, and it comes out on the it's registered as being a purchase. Well, it wasn't working, and so I guess he kindly said something or tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Ma'am, the sign on there says that this machine is not working," and she said, she looked at him and she said, "You must be a Christian." And he said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I am." And she said, "Where do you go to church?" And he said, "Calvary." "Oh, Calvary Episcopal?" she asked. He said, no, it's Calvary Baptist. Calvary Baptist. And he told her what road it was on. He said, she paused for a moment. She said, "Is that the one that has the billboard that has the math equation on it?" He says, "Yeah, that's it, that's it." She said, "It's driving me crazy." She said, "I'm a retired math teacher. And I cannot," she says, "I put that to every formula I know. And I cannot figure out what in the world it's talking about." He said, "Would you like me to tell you?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Do you have a few minutes?" "Yes." So he went through and told her. Was able to give her the gospel as a result of the sign out front. Isn't that wonderful? So that's 3 for 3. We've changed that sign with different ones. And every single one of those, we've had someone that's asked, that's just driven by and has seen it. One of them was my mechanic. One of them was some ladies walking through. And now this is the third one. So that's what we're to be. And we're going to see it tonight, that we're to be a light, L-I-G-H-T. And Lord willing, we're going to fix that light that's out there and have it in updated here before long. But I appreciate Brother Don, who's doing all the homework on that and talking with the county or the city. I don't know if it's one or both, but doing all the background work of what we need to do to just freshen it up. It just looks like it's been there a few millennia. And so we just need to fix it up. And it's a wonderful sign. From what I understand, if we were to try to do that now, it would not be permitted at all. We would have to have, because we're zoned residential, we would have to have a small sign like you have in front of the condos over here or something else that's just several feet high and several feet wide, and this would not be permitted. But we were here, I think, before any housing was there. Is that right? We were here as a church for the community and the houses and condos and whatever built around us. And so that's what God wants us to be, as light in the community. But I thought you'd enjoy that as much as I did. I thumped him in the arm. I said, "Really? That happened?" And I got to watch that. He's bigger than I am. But anyway, so praise the Lord. Let's be that light. And as someone, I don't know, as Brother Allen or somebody said as we were talking after church this morning, everybody uses Haywood Road. I mean, thousands of people a day probably go by Haywood Road and by the church sign, and many of them probably see that. So let's use it for God's glory. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Brother Allen, for the years that you have invested. Not years you've invested, but the years you've been doing this and investing an unknown amount of time in putting all those letters. I almost didn't use that. The Lord just seemed to pop that in my head. You know, and if you don't know what it says, maybe you didn't see the sign, but it's B1 equals D2. And then under that, B2 equals D1. So B1 stands for, if you're just born one time, equals you're going to die two times. You're going to die physically and you're going to die eternally, the second death. However, if you're B2, you're born twice, that equals you're only going to die once. Amen? And he that liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. Never die. And so to God be the glory for that. And thank you very much, Brother Allen, for all your work. And by the way, while we're taking the time, I want to say thank you to Brother Mintz, wherever you are in the sound room. Is that where you are, Brother Mintz? And I just want to say thank you to you. Wasn't that a wonderful blessing with our missionary and hearing that? And that's part of Brother Mintz's new responsibilities, is to do things exactly like that. But then also to just spend 50% of his time out. And Miss Wanda is eager to do it with him. And I just think that is phenomenal. And so Becky and I will be doing the same thing. And but that's the result of him stretching and moving and going. And he told me about it. I got so excited when he told me he was going to do it. And they were going to do it. And now we've seen the blessing of it and got a firsthand experience in that. So now with your Bibles open to Ephesians 5. Last time we actually got through about verse 3. And I'm in Ephesians 1. I need to scoot over a page or two here. There we are. We got through about verse number 3. And so let's just kind of get a hop, skip, and jump, because it has direct relevance to the following verses. We'll not spend a lot of time on it, but it's worthy of our attention. Let's notice it. Paul wrote to this church he loved so very much. He wrote, "Be therefore followers or mimickers of God as dear children, beloved children." So there's the standard. The "be" is in the imperative, which means it's a command. Okay, so there's a command from God through the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth and then directly to our hearts. He says, "Be ye therefore as children of God, followers, mimickers of God as dear children." Now, how do we do that? Walk in love. And that walk is not like a soldier in a straight line, but walking around just wherever we are, at the grocery store or at Lowe's in the checkout counter. Wherever you are, you're walking around. He is saying, walk in love as Christ also loved us. So he's the standard. Okay? The imperative, the command, walk in love. As followers of dear God, walk in love, but it was the standard, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us. So we need to be able to give ourselves as servants of God in other people's lives and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself an offering and a sacrifice to God. We spent time on that. And then we started going through the things that God says, no, don't be a part of this. Make sure you're not a part of this. Because if you are, you're not a mimicker of God. If you are, then you're not walking according to the standard as Christ did. And you're not going to be God's representative in that setting. And so we began to look at that, and we looked at fornication. We looked at uncleanness. We looked at covetousness. We looked at as become a saint, okay? And which should be holy and so forth. Saints has the idea of a holy one. Okay, it's the word from the Greek that literally is translated many, many times as holy. But put it to in personalizing it, it's using the word saint there. Okay? All right, he says, notice what he says in verse number 3, "But fornication, all uncleanness, covetous." Notice what he says, "Let it not be once named among you." So that means he's writing to the church. Why, he is saying to Brother Larry, I've already talked about Brother Larry tonight, and we could talk about Miss Helen, we could talk about different ones in the ministry here, Brother Jason back there, and Brother, just each one of us, Brother Josh. And by the way, Brother Josh has read the Constitution, and he wants to be a member of this church. And he's going to take the pastor out for supper 3 times a month. And, well, maybe not that, all right? But the deacons voted unanimously, our entire deacon council, the entirety of the deacons voted unanimously, both of them, voted unanimously to recommend to the church on Wednesday night in the business meeting that we ask and we include Brother Josh Nelson, right? Brother Josh as a member of Temple Baptist Church. Now, we're not going to vote tonight because we have that fun Wednesday night. What did I say? No, I don't want to know what I said. Did I say Temple? I am so sorry. I will, by the time God calls me away, I will get used to saying Calvary Baptist, whenever that is, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 2 years from now, whenever it is, God says it's done. But hopefully it'll be a long time. Yes, ma'am.
Let him know that you had 28 years of saying.
Yes, actually 29 years. And I did, as being pastor of a temple. 20 years in Asheville and 9 years in Athens, Georgia. They were both Temple Baptists. Thank you, sweetheart. She's looking out for me, isn't she? She's my sweetie. All right. Do I still get a peanut butter milkshake? Not tonight. All right. We've already had our sweet for the day. All right. But all that to say this, that if you're rejoicing in that, and we will vote at Calvary Baptist Church this Wednesday night in our business meeting. But if you're already rejoicing in that, say amen.
Amen.
I even heard amens from the live stream folks. So that's good. Maybe I didn't. But I'm sure they're rejoicing, Miss Gretchen and others that can't be here. I know they're excited about that too. Isn't God good to us? Oh, yes, He is. And by the way, we will be having a fellowship for new members the first Sunday night of May at Calvary Baptist Church. And so wouldn't it be wonderful if maybe God would send some others, maybe some that have been visiting for a month or two or a year or two, or we'll not go any further than that, but we need everybody to be in here. Amen. And say, Lord, use us all. We're a family and we love you and we love each other. Yes, ma'am.
Are we going to be back the first week of May?
That is a very good question, honey. Yeah, we might wait till the next week on that. Thank you. There's, I think you probably know, but I'll be gone 2 weeks, two Sundays. I'm finishing an academic program that it will actually be, I'll be graduating a week from Thursday. Hallelujah. But a week from Thursday, and it's in Louisiana. And so Becky and I are going to take a few extra days. We're going to leave on Thursday. If we can get our trailer ready and everything else, we're going to leave on that Thursday as soon as I finish teaching at Ambassador and just head for that way and get there a little early and so that we can go to church at where I was a youth pastor for a good number of years in Waco, Texas. We're going to get to Louisiana, park the trailer. We'll get there on Saturday and then park the trailer and go over to Waco. It's about 3 or 4 hours away from there and be in services there on Sunday. And one of my young people that used to be in my youth group is now the pastor. The pastor that was there is still there. He's been there all these years. I left there in 1988 and I was there with him for 5 years. He became the pastor there about 6 months later. The Lord led us there, my former wife and I, and so it's been a lot of years since I've been there, and I'm looking forward to it. I can remember Joey. I don't know if I told this in here or not, but Joey Crenshaw is his name. Big guy. Hand looks like a ball glove. Big guy. And I remember he got saved just before I went there. He was in our school and got saved, but just no character, zero character. And just began to really grow in the Lord. Came from an unsaved home. But began growing and got called to preach. And I'll never forget the first time that he, have I told this in here? I've not, okay. First time he preached, we had a nursing home ministry for the teenagers. And first time he preached, again, big guy, small little podium. And he was preaching away and he was quoting Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. had a lot of famous sayings among those who know much about Bob Jones, but one of them is do right till the stars fall. Just keep on doing right till the stars fall. So Joey's preaching away to this room full of senior citizens and wheelchairs and sitting at tables, but a lot of them in wheelchairs. And Joey's up there and he hits the pulpit and he says, do right till the stars come out. And he did it again, just to give it emphasis. You hear what I say, folks? Do right till the stars come out. Well, we had all the other teenagers sitting around. They're looking at each other like, that's not how it goes. And loving youth pastor that I am, I said, now, Joey, what do we do after the stars come out? Do we party? What do we do? You know, and so we have teased him all these years. And of course, it goes both ways. He's gotten back at me a number of times in a number of different ways. But a young man who grew to love the Lord went to a Christian college that was not easy. It was a tough school. The president of that school, I don't believe it's in existence now, but it was a good school. But it was a unique school. The president was a former Marine, although I don't know that there is such a thing as a former Marine. And he ran the school pretty much like a Marine camp. And tough, but taught those kids how to serve the Lord in tough settings. And so I'm very grateful that the character building he needed was a school that was perfect for him. Others probably couldn't have handled it, but it was exactly what he needed. So I know you're glad you heard about Do Right Till the Stars Come Out tonight. All right, let's go to the Word of God then. All right, thank you, sweetheart. And you're right, we'll have to kind of alter that a little bit. And we're going to take a few days and come back a little more slowly after the Thursday graduation. And just spend some time. The last little while has been a little busy for us, and actually a lot busy. And she and I have just not had an awful lot of time to just relax and be together. And so we're just going to take a few extra days. We may be back for that Sunday service. That'll be when Dr. Stevens is here for that Sunday service. We may not come in till that Monday. I have to start teaching again at Ambassador. Actually, it'd be during final exams that week that I come back. So they would probably rather I take a few more days off than give final exams, but that's part of my job, so we'll do that. So with that in mind, let's go to the Word, and we have taken some extra time on that tonight. Let's go to it. Now, you notice what he says, "Let it not be once named among you as become a saints." So everyone who's here tonight who knows the Lord Jesus as his or her personal Savior, you're in God's family. And because you're in God's family, just like Jesus is part of God's family, if I could put it that way, he's part of the Godhead, and obviously eternally different than we are. However, we are joint heirs with Christ, are we not? Amen or no? Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't say that in pride and, well, I'm one of whatever. No. My goodness, it's being adopted, being welcomed into the family of God, and having our lives changed from being a sinner on my way to hell in the lake of fire. And now instead of that, that is a done deal. That is finished. And my soul is safe in God's hand, in Jesus' hand, and in God's hand. And nothing can pluck me out of God's hand. Anybody want to say amen to that? So that being the case, I'm in God's family. So I need to make sure every attitude I have, every ambition I have, every action I have is consistent with what Christ would do in that setting. And when we do that, we're going to be following what it says here. Let it not be once named among you, as he says here, as becometh saints. So he's already given us some things like fornication, uncleanness, those deal with sexual sins, covetousness, which could also be along with that, but it could involve other things as well. You covet different things other than an individual. And he tells us the last part of verse 2, verse 3, and he continues in that. He says, fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, I'm sorry, verse 4, he continues in that line. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, many of you are taking notes, and because of that, I gave you what these other words meant. So let me do that again with these. Filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting. And it's not all that different than probably what you're thinking, but this is a first century understanding of that word. So if we were to time capsule it back to the first century and you heard the word filthiness, it wouldn't be that you haven't used your hand cleanser as you walk in the door, or that you even have your soap at the house when you're washing at the sink and you've been working in the garden or something like that. Here's what filthiness would have meant in that day and time. It means indecent, indecent, I-N-D-E-C-E-N-T, indecent, comma, file, not file, sorry, vile. And it also has the idea of dishonorable. So when we talk about filthiness, it's not talking about the soiling of the hands, but the soiling of your heart and the soiling of testimony. Okay? Has that idea in mind. Now let's go to foolish talking. All right, the foolish talking has the idea is a fool and with senseless craftiness. A fool with senseless craftiness. Aristotle, the philosopher, Aristotle used the same word, and it would be chastened insolence. Chastened insolence. Now, if you just had chastened, it would have the idea that that it would be a good thing, that you worked on it and you got something worked out. It was chastening. The Lord chastens his children. But chastened insolence just means it's kind of highbrow insolence. It just means that it's crafted in a way that it's not in the gutter, and yet at the same time, it has that which about it has a defilement that's attached to it. Does that make sense? So Aristotle said, a philosopher who didn't use gutter language necessarily, but he could do the same thing in castigating or whatever it was. He would do it in a highbrow kind of a way, if that makes sense to some. Okay, so that's the idea there of foolish talking. And then he comes to jesting. And I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. That's what jesting is. I'm sorry, that's what jesting is. Okay, so if you just wrote all that, just draw a line down to where jesting would be next. Okay, so that's where Aristotle, and I wrote that to the side of my notes, and I didn't see that it was going straight to jesting. Okay, and jesting there has also to do with buffoonery and ribaldry. Okay, ribaldry. In other words, the kind of thing where you're causing divisions and other things like that, but it has that idea that it is not appropriate. Okay? And then it says not convenient, which it's pretty much what you're thinking anyway. It has the idea that it is not fitting, it's not proper, it is not becoming. And for my benefit, I wrote in Philemon verse 8. And some others as well. We can deal with that another day. So in contrast to those things, instead of having the filthiness and the foolish talking and the jesting, he says here that these things are not convenient, but, notice what he says, rather giving of thanks. So what he is talking about is what the Word of God says, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So when I have that, when I say, wait a minute, I don't want vile under my, I don't want asps or vileness under my tongue. But if I say, wait a minute, if I don't want that under my tongue, then what do I want to be the first thing that touches my tongue when my mouth opens that comes out of my mouth? Not that I'm spewing it, but it's in close proximity to whatever comes out of my mouth. Instead of having it, these things which are not convenient, they're not fitting, they're not appropriate for a child of God, then what do I want? And he says, but rather giving of thanks. And if I could put the Braeology to that, it would be simply this. That instead of spewing out those things that, well, and there's Christian curse words, and you all know how those are. They may start with the same letter, and it's in a setting in which you would give an expletive or a curse, somebody else would give a curse word, and you would go, oh, and it may have the first word or first letter, and the person listening, oh, I thought he was going to say that. Okay, I think I mentioned several weeks ago, and we haven't done it yet, but I'm planning still on changing our pharmacy, because they've started using, and I don't know if they've discontinued. We don't watch TV much at all, or at all really. But the last time we watched it, and I was watching a commercial that was for this particular pharmacy where we do our business, and it showed a lady that looked like any lady right here, just nice as she could be. Middle-aged lady, dressed nicely. And I don't know what the occasion was. Something happened. And this nice-looking lady opens the door, and she goes, ah, and she uses a letter. And you can tell by her mouth what was coming out. And then you can also tell that the TV put up, they deadened the sound of it, and then they put the little whatever it is, if like somebody's not dressed appropriately, and they obscure the sight so that you can't really see the body part that was exposed, that they can't let you see it. Okay, well, they did the same thing with this wording. They said, she went, oh, and like that, And of course, it's supposed to be funny. Here's this woman. You don't expect this nice-looking lady to come out and give an expletive, give a curse word. Okay? And I don't want to be a part of a business like that. And I won't talk about any other businesses like Walt Disney or any others like that. I guess I just did, didn't I? Intentionally so. That we need to be careful. And I don't want to do business. I'm not saying I want you, if I don't like something, I want to tell you to stop doing business there. That's between you and the Lord. But at the same time, some things are so egregious that you just have to say, okay, if they fuss at us about it, come on. Fuss at us about it. But we're not going to change. I'm not. And again, we're not trying to pick a fight with anybody. But we're supposed to be light in this community. And we'll one day maybe have a radio broadcast. And we did certainly in Asheville at Calvary Baptist in Asheville. I did that in purpose, just equal time there. All right? But we had a radio broadcast, and it was on the secular station. It wasn't on a Christian station. And I dealt with things that dealt with Asheville. And if you know anything about Asheville, there's a lot to deal with in Asheville. And we dealt with a lot of stuff over the... And I never got... We did it in a kind way. We did it in a... Listen, we're not here to fuss. We're not here to anything else other to say, according to Bible principle, this is wrong. And blessed is the nation. And the Bible talks about a city that serves the Lord, that they'll be blessed. And I said, why go in a different direction? And so the point of it is this, that these things are egregious to God. And if God says this is wrong, then we need to turn, if it's been a part of my life, and maybe I've just gotten saved, and I hope we'll have just a bucket load of folks that come here that are first generation Christians, amen? They get saved, maybe they get saved out of a rock band. Maybe they got tattoos that come down their nose and up their nose. Maybe they got this and that, and they get saved. Amen? I had a roommate of Bob Jones named Tassus Maharis. You may have seen him on the Old Time Gospel Hour. He and his live-in girlfriend, Vicky Riccadella, he had contracts to play with Capitol Records in California, playing rock music. He and his girlfriend were at Greenwich Village in New York. And they were just about to head out and to record some records. And he's playing his rock music. And there was a bunch of young people from Word of Life Camp up in Scroon Lake, New York, that traveled from Scroon Lake and went down to New York City to pass out gospel tracts at Greenwich Village. Long story short, Tassus Maharis, Tom Maharis is what he's called in the States, from Greece, but Tom got saved. Vicky got saved. And Brother Jack Wurtson took him under his wing, so to speak, and brought him up to Word of Life, began discipling them in Christ. And now you gotta, I know you've been living together, but that's not right. Here's what the Bible says. Oh, we don't want to do what God doesn't want us to do. And it was tough. They'd lived together for years. And so they separated, and then God called Tom to preach. And then God called Tom down to Bob Jones. And God called Tom Maharis to become Randy Bray's roommate when I was running from the Lord. And if you've ever heard, and he was on the old Gospel Hour a number of times, giving his testimony, how God used him, and God's used him in a wonderful way. He's back up in New York, and Tom and I may not see everything eye to eye today. He's kind of gone in a different direction, but yet he still loves the Lord and still working with drug addicts and alcoholics and all on the streets of New York City, as far as I know. And my other roommate, Lenny Byerly, same thing, up there doing the same kind of thing. But as Tom changed, what a difference. And God knew just what I needed. He'd wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And this is before they had carpets in the dorms. And I was running from the Lord as fast as I could. But Tom would wake me up, Randy. He was my prayer captain in the room. So I had to obey him. Get up. I don't want to get up. Get up. He'd haul me out the hallway. And Tom didn't do anything quietly. Nothing. He was a rock musician. He didn't do anything quietly. He said, Randy, you need to get right with the Lord. And guys in the dorms all down the hall, open the door. Preach to him in the daytime, Tom. Wham! Close the door. Oh, I couldn't stand the guy. He'd walk down one side of the street. I saw him coming. I'd walk down the other side of the street. All year long until Bible conference in March. God dealt with this old wicked guy running from the Lord. I knew God wanted me to be a preacher, and I didn't want to be a preacher for different reasons. God dealt with my heart, put me in a box canyon. This is it, Randy. If I call you to preach and you don't preach, who's going to take your place? Well, Jim will take my place. My brother, he'd do a better job than I would anyway. And the answer in my heart came lightning fast. Yes, he'd probably do a better job. But if he takes your place, who's going to take his place? Well, so-and-so could take his place. Okay, well, he'd probably do a good job. But if he takes Jim's place, who's going to take his place? And I got about three or four generations down on that, and it dawned on me. If God calls me to preach and I don't preach, who's going to take my place without abandoning somewhere else? God used that to break my whole heart. As soon as that service was over, I could not wait to find Tom Harris. I found Vicki. She was a student there too, living in the girls' dorms. And I found Vicki at the administration building. She was going in the door. I ran in the door. Do you know where Tom is? Oh, I think he's back at the dorm. All the way across campus. Ran across campus. I finally found Tom. Guess what? What, Randy? I got right with God. Ah, praise God. That's what we're talking about here. That God wants us, our lives, our hearts, our ambitions, to model Christ. Isn't that what Romans 8:29 says? For whom he did foreknow. God knew who's going to get saved. Josh, he knew you were going to get saved. Aren't you glad Josh got saved? Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That means to choose ahead of time. He knew who would get saved. And he, for those he knew he would get saved, he chose ahead of time. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's why he's writing in Ephesians 5, to church he loves. But he also knows in a church, it can go sideways pretty quickly. When you have people in the church who are not following Christ and who are allowing jesting to go on. Things that are not appropriate and things that are divisive and things that are this. It doesn't mean you don't deal with problems. Yes, we deal with problems. We already have and we are and we shall. But there ought to be, even in the midst of dealing with any problems, there ought to be such a bond, such a Christ-likeness, just such a fellowship that's because we're walking in the light as He is in the light, that even as we're dealing with those problems, we could stop right smack dab in the middle of the in the problem and say, hey, listen, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. It ought to be normal. It ought to be natural. It may not be conducive to the setting. And I'm exaggerating here a little bit. Because when you're in those kind of things, you don't do it frivolously or lightly. You do it very seriously. But what I'm saying is it should not be abnormal for us to stop in the middle of it and say, well, let's pray about this. It shouldn't be, oh, listen, you're being really spiritual here. No, that ought to be normal and natural. Amen or no? And that being the case, dear brother back here, and dear sister over here, and dear brother over here, and dear sister over here, it ought to be natural for you in the middle of your day when a voice says to you, think about it. Think about it. Does that violate Bible principle? I want to tell you something, folks. I am so thankful to be here. I'm watching and I'm hearing as folks are growing. Some of you are making changes. And I want to tell you, and this doesn't sound very spiritual, but it's the old saying, sick 'em to a bulldog. When I see your love for God, and I see when you're making changes, and maybe there's been a sharpness to your attitude, and I see that sharpness gone. Or I see a compassion for others that maybe there wasn't there. And I see you being willing like the men on Wednesday night when you're teaching Proverbs. And maybe it is scary up here. And maybe it is, but you're not going to let fear. You say, the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. So yes, if I'm fearful and I'm not willing to help my brethren to understand what God's shown me from Proverbs chapter whatever it is, then I'm handicapping them to know what God's doing in my life. And that may be the very thing God wants to show them. And so I may get up here and think, everybody in the world knows this and I just saw it, so I'm not going to say anything. Because, and you're discounting the fact that maybe there's several out here, or at least one, that God's going to use that to go, chink, the light comes on. That's what that means. That's how God applies it to the life. And I'm watching as some are setting aside fear and saying, all right, there is no perfect, complete love and fear, for perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. Yes, I'm going to be scared as I'm walking down that 40-mile aisle. And as I come up these steps, and there's 4,300 steps to get up here, and you get by here, and there's 7,000 people out in front of me. Well, at least it seems that way, doesn't it? The length of the aisle and everything else. But when you do, you're stretching yourself spiritually. You're stretching yourself. I said to someone just today or yesterday, I don't remember when it was, you're stretching yourself. What a blessing that is for this preacher. And it's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. He's saying, keep preaching. Preach hard. Preach sweet. Preach compassionate. Preach biblical doctrine. And be what God wants you to be. And that's the influence you're having on my life and on my sweetheart's life as well. All right, enough of that. So here we go. We've gotten all the way to where we were. Actually, we've gotten one verse beyond. All right. So he says, but rather giving a thanks. So let the words of my mouth, as we said, let that carry the day. If you'll look this way just a moment, please. And some of you are still writing, and I'm glad for that. There are some among us. I don't know who it is, who they are. But with some, it's much easier to take the negative pathway on any subject that comes up. It's just easier. It is. It's just easier. Why? Because the old flesh just popped in there. Okay? It's the battle of the mind. Okay? And so as the statement is made or whatever it is, well, it ain't going to work. Well, okay. Or whatever it is. Why don't we go to work on that? Do you think the Lord would be pleased if we pre-program our words to come out to whatever it is to the glory of God? And if your child falls over and bangs the knee and it's bleeding, it's not to say, that's a lovely shade of red you have there, son. Okay, we're not talking about just doing things just to sound happy, happy, happy. But it's to think through what we're saying before we say it. So that the first thing, now if something negative needs to be said, then it needs to be said. It's appropriate. But sometimes we get into a habit, and it's a default setting. That as soon as you go to it, when I turn on my computer, it has a default setting in different areas. And that's all, what he's saying here. He says, but rather giving of thanks. So that whatever is going on in our lives, we immediately say, well, thank you, Lord, and praise the Lord for it. Now let's look at verse number 5 very quickly. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, that's talking about sexual things, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In my opinion, it does not mean there that that person's not saved. Now, in other context, it says he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a horse of a different color, okay, as they say in Texas. But here he is talking about their inheritance. Why? You remember in chapter 1? Okay, in chapter 1, let's see, I've got to find it real quickly. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, it's in there. I don't see it right at the moment. Somebody can find it maybe faster than I can. But verse 5 and verse 11. I just see it in verse 11. All right, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of son by Jesus Christ to himself. Oh, it's the part I have underlined. I just didn't see it. All right. According to the good pleasure of his will. All right, so it's there. All right, but look at verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So there he's talking about the inheritance. But here in chapter 5, he's saying, listen, if you've got this going on in your life, and you have this going on in your life, and you have this going on in your life, no inheritance. You say, well, what about I've already gotten? I've already laid up my treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, neither do thieves break through nor steal. I've already got that there. You better check out the Word. Check out the Word and see if you can lose an inheritance. And you're going to find that you can, based on the Word of God. And that's why he says, let no man steal your inheritance. We have to be very careful that we walk after the light as he is in the light, and that we are the light that shines. Speaking of light, let's keep going and we'll close here shortly. The Bible says, let no man deceive you, verse 6, with vain words. And that's what happens. Vain just has the idea of useless. It also carries the connotation, not just that it's not going to amount to nothing, double negative there, but that it also, through vanity, can build a bridge into a lifestyle or an attitude or an ambition that's contrary to the will of God and therefore the Word of God. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now he's talking there about the unsaved. Okay, so the wrath of God, Romans 1. Okay, it talks about, but the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who do what? Hold the truth in what? An unrighteousness, okay? Now, I think in Romans 1, it's primarily about the unsaved, but now he's making an application here to the saved, and he's dealing with the same kind of thing. So he says, for because of these vain things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So the unsaved are going to have the wrath of God abiding on them for it. Now verse 7, be not ye therefore, this is the imperative again, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. He's talking about sometimes has the idea at one time. For ye are at one time, sometimes is an old English way of saying at one time. For ye were as sometimes darkness. That's what you were. But now are ye light in the Lord. Another reason to know that you don't have the old nature. Okay? When you get saved, you do not have the old nature. You have the flesh that is going to campaign for the things of the old nature that you had before you got saved. Being whatever, this or that or the other, little or a whole lot. Okay, but when you get saved, you have this flesh that's campaigning for it, but you're not a sinner by nature, you're a sinner by choice. Does that make sense? When you're saved, and some of you are going to have to chew on that for a while, but there's plenty of, in my opinion, Bible principle that shows that. Okay, a lot of good people believe we still have the old nature. Okay, I understand that. Good preachers, and they'll preach it. You have the old nature, you have the new nature, and they're fighting, all right? They're fighting the old nature and the new nature, and they're fighting. But I've challenged many to show you from the scriptures where that's true. Okay? And we won't go into all that. It's not why we're here. And here's what he is saying. God's wrath is upon the children of disobedience. And he's talking there strictly, in my opinion, about the unsaved. And he's saying, be not partakers with them. And how do we know that? For ye were at one time, you were sometimes darkness. Okay? You were unsaved. You were without light. But now, are ye light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. So in other words, when he says he's giving the command to walk as children of light, he is saying that you can walk as though you were in darkness. You can still do the deeds of darkness. The Bible says elsewhere, you can make yourself a servant of uncleanness. Okay? If you yield yourself to it, you can do that. Does that mean you're unsaved? No. But you're yielding yourself. You have attitudes. You have ambitions. You have actions that are consistent with those who are unsaved. It doesn't bother them a bit. Unless there's a conscience of morality or otherwise based on society. You go to some societies, they have no problem eating their enemies. And what I understand, having talked to some folks who are there, if you eat your enemy, it's guaranteed that enemy is never going to bother you again. Okay, that's the philosophy that's in the society. So you conquer them, take care of it, and that's fine. That's good. That's normal. Okay, so normality and morality is sometimes dictated from society to society or families to families. But he is saying here, God has a standard. And for his children, we're not to walk in fornication. We're not to walk in uncleanness, sexual things to be talked about. We're not to live like that. That violates so many Bible principles because you're light. And you're to walk as children of light, but you have, God's given you the ability to crawl over, and I won't do it, but let's say this is a fence and this is God's will. And if I don't want God's will, he's given me the ability to crawl over God's standards and trespass over in the other area. Years ago, I was Honey, I don't know if I told you about this or not, but I was, honey, I haven't done a lot of it. But I did it several times. And I got, I may have told this, I'm not sure. But I got, coming out of the woods, I got lost. In daylight, and it was time to go home. I hadn't seen anything, so I decided, okay, it's time to go. And this is the first time I'd been at this particular place. And so I walked and walked, and I was lost. I had no idea. And I came across a fence, and there was a pasture. Oh, it was beautiful. Woods, stickers, fence, pasture. Stickers, woods, fence, pasture. I'll just crawl over the pasture, crawl over the fence, and I'll follow the fence. Sooner or later, I'm going to come to something. And maybe I'll turn and go to another way, and it'll eventually take me somewhere where I am in the woods. I could go all day long and just be going in circles. So I did that. And I got out. I did just fine. When I got out, I went to the guy that just saw him and told him, thanks for letting me hunt in your property. I didn't see anything right there, but I got lost. And I crawled over the fence and got out. And he says, you crawled over the fence in the pasture. I said, yeah. He said, did you see a bull by any chance? I said, no. He said, you better count your blessings. He said, that is the meanest bull I have ever seen in my life. He said, if that bull, you would have never gotten out of there. You could not be fast enough to outrun that bull. Even if he was a ways away from you, he said he would have killed you. Here's my point. The devil doesn't care how he gets to us, does he? He can do it through money. He can do it through fantasies. He can do it through this or that. He doesn't care. Those are just strategies. Just strategies. Why is he putting all these ugly, ugly things? I mean, fornication. I mean, that talks about all kinds of, that pornea can be used for a lot of stuff. It's not just, a lot of people think that's just talking about physical relations between a man and a woman who are not married. Not necessarily. It can be adultery. It's used for adultery. It's used for a lot of different things. I won't say it tonight. I think we have some young ears in here, so I'll not go into it. But the point is, it's all kinds of junk. Why is he saying that to a people? He says in one, boy, do I thank God about everything. Oh, according to his, and I love you folks. And oh, just, and now here he is saying this, be careful, be careful, be careful. Why? Because any of us can do just about anything if we walk away from the Lord. And the best way to prevent any of that from taking place is not letting it go anywhere in that direction. I don't know if you've been around alcoholics much. I have. The best way to never be an alcoholic is never to touch anything that has any of that about it. Any of it about it. And it's the same thing with all of these sins that we're finished with tonight, is to say, okay, this displeases the Lord. I don't want to even come to the edge of it and tease a little bit. I don't want to use a word that it's a one-syllable word, it starts with it, but it's not that word. But if it could easily be construed as that by someone who's a casual listener, why don't you pick another word? Like pickles. Or maybe not say anything at all, and just let the Lord carry the day on that. Okay? All right. Let me finish that verse. It says, for this ye know, okay, let no man deceive you, for because of these vain things cometh the wrath of God. Be not therefore partakers, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I'm so privileged to be here, to be among people that want to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. You remember Romans 5? I beseech you therefore, brethren, that by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but, say it with me, be ye transformed, very good, by the what? Renewing of your mind. Here we go. Let's say it together. That ye may prove, what is that? Good and acceptable, perfect will of God. God wants us to be the proof of the pudding and the eating. God wants us to be like this brother this morning that told me on the way out about the sign. When he responded in that way, the lady just looked at him and said, you must be a Christian. It ought to be that obvious. With our family members, with those that maybe we let our guard down. But it ought to be a decision we make. And when we make a decision and continue that intentionally so it becomes a habit. And when we continually, intentionally continue a habit, it becomes an instinct. Don't even have to think about it. It just comes. It's just that way. May God help Randy Bray and these I love here tonight and those listening to develop those habits and attitudes and instincts that draw us in a way of a sweet savor to none other than our Savior and our Heavenly Father. If you'll join me in standing, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer right on time. If you want me to continue for another hour, if you'll be seated. No. Now everybody's standing. All right. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. And I hope you have a great week. If I can help you any way in the world. We're still thinking through a little bit about the sunrise service. And so we will send out a mass email or text, whatever it is that Brother Carollo can do. And let you know exactly the hours. I'm thinking, just thinking out loud here, so this may change in about 5 minutes after the service, but I'm thinking out loud that probably the way we'll do it is have the sunrise service at, I think it's 7 o'clock is what we've scheduled, and sunrise, someone looked it up this morning. It actually, this morning, it was like 7:02, and so by the end of the week, it should be just a little bit different, but not much, and the weather's not supposed to be all that great. As of now. Now, this is North Carolina. We'll either have a monsoon, a snowstorm, or a heat wave. We don't know among which of those it'll be, or a combination. But if it's warm, then we'll have it probably out under the canopy. If it's rainy weather and chilly or whatever, we'll probably have it in here. And so that particular service will last maybe 15, 20, no more than 30 minutes at the very most. Again, kind of depending on the conditions out there. We'll do that. And then we'll have a break of a little bit. And the ladies doing the food will kind of get things together. And we'll do that. And let me pause just for a second in the middle of that. Lord willing, and I didn't mention this to the deacons, but another thing we didn't mention to the deacons. But I believe we need to buy a warmer for the kitchen. And if you know what that is, it's a professional warmer that's about this high, and it has a place for probably, how many, Becky? Probably 15, 20 racks? Quite a few racks. And that way, when we have dinner on the grounds and things like that, and ladies have brought heated things that they're hoping that there will be enough plugs to heat and all of that, you have one thing, and you set a temperature. And it just keeps it, and we bought, I think, two or three of them in Asheville, and they work perfectly. They had to do some talking to talk me into it, because they're not cheap, but I think one for right now would be a blessing, and it's probably $300-$400, something like that, maybe a little bit more than that, but pray about that. Maybe it'll lay on somebody's heart, and they'll just say, I'll take care of that, and in that case, it'll be $2,000. But seriously, if the Lord lays it on your heart, and I've done that several times in the past, not, you know, just thinking I'm just going to say it, and sure enough, somebody will give me a call or come by the office with a checkbook and say, God's blessed, and we can take care of that. So if God does that in your heart, would that be a blessing, ladies? Amen. I can get an amen one way or the other. Pray about that if God leads you to that, but we'll talk to the deacons about it in the next deacons meeting and maybe get that going. All right, so let's have a word of prayer, but just before that, we'll finish the former statement. 7 o'clock, have a brief interlude. Then we'll have the breakfast or brunch. Is it breakfast or brunch? Breakfast? Both? Food, all right, okay. I'll let the ladies work through that one, all right? I'm not sure if it's breakfast or brunch. With my hearing, I'm just hearing food. I heard that bass voice over there, all right. So that will take place. We'll probably spend maybe 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, having fellowship around the table, and then we'll have another service, and that'll be the last service of the day. Is that okay with everyone? Okay. I'm getting mixed response. Sunday school teachers may want to have that, but I think probably we'll do that this time and see how it works. And then if it doesn't work and we're finished by 7010 or 710, then we've done it too quickly. But let's do it that way and just allow enough time. Now, the service in here will be a regular service. Okay, we'll have a brief service in place of Sunday school for the sunrise. Then we'll have a time of fellowship. We're just starting, 3 hours earlier or something like that? And so we'll just kind of reverse it in that fashion, and we'll finish when we finish. And I have a 4-hour sermon, so that's good. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. We love you folks, and if we can help you, let us know. Brother Mills, good to have you as a deacon. Amen. Amen. Brother Corallo, we're grateful for all the time you've served. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this night. We are so still rejoicing in the testimony that Brother Mintz was able to give tonight about our dear missionary sister. Lord, we're so grateful she's a part of our family. I remember what the BIMI rep said. He said, whatever you give to this lady, you might as well understand it's going to go into the ministry. He said, I've known her for, I forget how many years, 40 years, something like that. She pours her heart into the ministry. She gets any extra money, it's going into the ministry. He said, your money has been well invested all these years. And so, Lord, we rejoice in that. And now we've been to thy word. And Father, we've talked about a lot of different things tonight. But we pray that thy word will find its seat in our hearts and will help us to govern our attitudes, our tongues, our everything this week. But Lord, I want to say before you, as I've already said to them, when I see people who are now active on Wednesday night or on Sunday that didn't come before, or I hear of them witnessing to someone or doing this or that, Father, it just excites my heart that much more. But Lord, that's probably a candle in comparison to what it does for thy heart, thine heart. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll be with us as we're dismissed tonight, that each one of us, all of us, will leave with a passion to be like Christ. And in all of our attitudes, no matter whether we're at home or by ourselves or in a group of 1,000, uppermost in our minds is to represent you in that setting. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.